This is Tips and Tactics and Full Draw Fitness. And you are listening to the Archery Maniacs Podcast. Now it's time for Archery Maniacs Updated News. We launched an updated website at www.archerymaniacs.com. Go there and you will find Archery Maniacs Taxidermy. Our taxidermy includes European mounts, hydrographic skull dips, and custom artwork, customizable video packages, packages to fit all your hunt needs, monthly newsletter. The newsletter will include success stories, failure stories, gear reviews, wild game recipes, upcoming episodes in our online series, and upcoming podcasts, and updates to our YouTube online series called Live Life at Full Draw. Alert, alert! Soon to launch our ebooks, Hunt Planner Guide, all the steps you need to plan your next DIY dream hunt, including specific questions, hunt plans, and step-by-step instructions. Keto dehydration. Make your own dehydrated keto meals for your hunting and backpacking adventures. Super tune your bow, beginner's bow tuning guide, and more. Thank you for tuning into the show, and we appreciate you checking out the website. Have you tried a fitness training plan that wasn't for you? Elevation Fitness Training is the one and only fully customizable training program that personalizes your fitness for you, the individual. Mention Archery Maniacs and get 10% off the training package of your choice. Nutrition can be one of the hardest areas to tackle. What's the best way of eating? How much of this or that do I need? Nutrition Realign takes the guessing game out and looks at where you are and where you want to go. Your health and goals is their priority.
Now,
let's
get
into
the show!
Hey everyone, in this episode, Justin Crossley, one of the main guys over there at Rockslide, and I talk gear. We're both kind of gearheads, and we talk about some of the gear that we tested throughout 2017, some of the new, old, and some of our favorite. This was a pretty long podcast, so I broke it into two parts. This is part one, as far as Full Draw Fitness goes. Stephen and Courtney, the masters of energy and fitness, they dive into utilizing foam rollers to your benefit. So I hope that you enjoy the show and make sure and stay tuned next week for part two, where Justin and I finish up our conversation on some of our favorite gear. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Hey everyone, Zach Harold here. Have a friend of mine, Justin Crossley, on the other end of the line. And tonight, he and I are just going to kind of talk about some of the up-and-coming gear that he's pretty excited about. He's been fortunate enough to test. And I might throw in some of the gear that was new for me this year that I tested out. And he and I might bounce some ideas off each other and question each other and our experience and all that kind of stuff. How's it going tonight, Justin?
Hey, it's doing real good, Zach. Glad to be on and talk with you again.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you taking the time and hopping on the show. It means a lot to me.
Right on.
So yeah, you know, being in your shoes, I know that I'm a gearhead, and I know you are too. So what's some of the gear that you've been fortunate enough to try this year that you're really excited about?
Well, so last year, probably one of the things that I was most happy with after testing some stuff last year. I didn't test as much as I normally do, just because I was doing I started working for rockslide.com. And so I ended up working as Robbie's assistant editor. And with that taking up so much of my time, along with my full-time job and family and all that, I did a little bit less of my own reviewing, but I did a lot of the publishing and the editing with Rockslide. So so one of the things that I was probably most happy with of the new things that I tried last year was actually the First Light Sawtooth Jacket. It's kind of like one of these things that I like looked at it and thought, yeah, that thing's like stupid. I'm not going to like it. And but I decided to get one. I can't remember who recommended it or what it was, but I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to try one. And man, that's probably like one of my favorite pieces. If you haven't seen it, it's like a merino down the sleeves and the back. It's real thin merino. And then on the front, it's like almost like a thin, not a puffy, but like a, you know, more like a jacket. And man, it's got a really nice. I love calling predators, or I mean, even like, you know, elk, if you want to be able to pull a kind of a half mast. But it's like a really like perfect mid layer, or it's kind of warm and you don't need a really, you know, actual full warm jacket, but you're gonna be active, like that type of stuff. And so that was really surprising. One of those that, you know, sort of surprised me, I guess. And the only thing that I didn't like about that is it's a little bit short in the torso, in my opinion. And I'm not sure if Kenton was going to fix that this year or not. And then the forearms, they try to make a lot of the clothes now a little tighter on the forearms, I think, for, you know, so they stay out of the way of your bow. And so they did that, but then I don't think they give it quite enough stretch. So I'm by no means like any kind of bodybuilder or anything, but it was it's a bit tight on my forearms. So gotcha. It took a little kind of stretching out, and it's pretty – but it was pretty tight in the beginning. So, yeah, so that was one of the things. Obviously, you know, I do a lot of rifle testing and things like that too, which I know it's not going to be – your listeners aren't going to want to hear about.
they probably would, so, to be honest with you.
But I do.
My wife might kill me. My wife is like, you really just need to stay on archery and archery only, because that's your niche, and you called it Archery Maniacs. And I'm like, I rifle hunt too, though.
Right. But no, so I did actually do a little bit of that stuff, but we'll, you know, keep it off on main, you know, just hunting gear for this. So, because I could, obviously we've talked before, and I could talk about gear for hours anyway. So, but the other thing that I tested last year that I was happy with was the EXO backpack. Mm. Obviously, I've been a Kafaru guy for a long time. I mean, I've got no complaints about their packs. I pack a ton of stuff out with them. I've packed out more with the Kafaru than anything else. But the year before last, I did a Stone Glacier that review just to do a good comparison, you know, to what I consider one of the best, which is the Kafaru. That Stone Glacier pack was great. I didn't have really any complaints. It wasn't quite as comfortable for my, I don't know, my back shape or hip shape or whatever as my Kafaru. And so I went and I switched back to the Kafaru, and then but really, like I said, that's going to be a personal thing. I didn't have any quality issues with it or anything like that. It just wasn't. And I still have it. I still use it a little bit. So I think it's a good pack for people to look at, but it just wasn't, you know, it's not my favorite as far as how it fits me. With lightweight, it's fine. With it loaded down, it's not quite as comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. And I haven't got a chance to try out their new one. And I've heard the new X, I think it's the X Curve is their newest frame, or one of their newer. I guess they made a really ultralight one too now, but, and I haven't tried that one either, but those two may fit a little bit better, but it's definitely worth looking at. And then, like I said, so kind of getting back to what I first started with, the EXO that I tried last year, I really liked. It's lightweight, it's compact, it's really a nice, like, well put together pack. It kind of comes with everything. You don't really have to add a whole lot. I think I added, I'm trying to think what Steve put on there. So we put a one belt pouch on it on the one side. And I think that may be it. Maybe I don't know if I remember if it had a water bottle pouch, but anyway, that was a really good pack. I ended up, packing out an entire antelope whole, I gutted it, but it was a, you know, like a nice buck antelope my dad shot, in Wyoming. I'm trying to think if I packed anything out like really, really long, like, you know, 8 or 10 miles, and I'm thinking I didn't with that one last year, but it did work really well. I was happy with it. It was comfortable. I'm still not switching away from the Kafarus, but that one is definitely a, man, it seems like well put together. I think I would wear – I didn't have any issues with it ripping or anything like that or material coming apart or whatever. But it's not maybe – I guess that's a trade-off, right? That one's a little bit lighter than my Kafaru.
Yeah.
But I would say it's probably going to give you a little bit less durability. Obviously, that Kidora that they put on the Kafaru is pretty tough stuff. So that was definitely
–
Yeah. Now, which pack are you running? I know we've talked about it before. I just can't remember.
Yeah. This past year, I ran, I ran the Kafaru Argali, obviously with their, Hunter frame. And I had the spotting scope pocket, three large pockets, and then a hip pocket on each side. And then I ran the Grabbit and the guide lid as well. And I literally put that thing through hell. I mean, I put more weight in a pack than you should because I guess I'm one of those guys, you know? And that's not like to toot my own horn. That's – if I wouldn't have done that, the meat probably would have spoiled because it was like 95 degrees, you know? So – I wasn't willing.
Right.
I was more willing to kill myself than I was to let the meat spoil. So, I boned out it was a raghorn bull. I boned it out and took every piece that I was, you know, legally required to take. Put my camp on, strapped my bow on, and walked out. So it was probably 200-ish pounds. And nothing happened to the pack. Like, the thing held up like a tank.
Yeah, no, they definitely. I mean, I haven't. I've put like weight in it to show people, you know, like up there around that weight, but I've never packed out of the mountain like that. I mean, I'm sure your knees and whatnot just took a pounding, but I hear you on getting the meat out. Sometimes it's hot and sometimes you got to do it, right? So
yeah, and that was my thought.
Nice knowing.
Yeah, it is nice knowing that it can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's great. And I think this year I haven't ordered one yet, but I definitely think I'm going to go ahead and order up one of the new, a little bit lighter frames. I'm down to one Hunter frame right now as far as the removables. And then I have one internal Timberline still that I just love. But I think since I have a few extra bags, I think I'm going to go ahead and order that new lighter one, kind of for a specific kind of build a lightweight pack, like maybe for scouting and for some lighter deer hunting and things like that. So, and I just like to try stuff out. But
yeah,
I have high hopes for that. So
that new bag, the new pack frame just looks awesome. I was actually just talking with Aaron and Frank about it like 3 weeks ago, and I'm trying to get their whole new lightweight setup, which also happens to be waterproof, which is awesome. Their Cordura is basically waterproof anyways, you know, new lightweight frame and the muskeg and working on getting that whole setup, we'll see. I am really, really excited to test it out. I always like trying new stuff, you know?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, and obviously I'm the same way. That's what I like about doing the gig with Rock Slide is, I have a bunch of, you know, gear that I've had since I was younger and kind of, you know, you kind of get as you go along and you upgrade and things, and I would be just happy just using the pretty basic stuff, but man, having the opportunity to test different things is really fun. It just kind of – it adds something like those boring days when you're up there sitting on the hillsides waiting for animals to move or glassing whatever. And, you know, when you're sitting there kind of like getting to mess with stuff, it to me, it just kind of breaks the time up. And, you know, it's a nice distraction when it is boring. So
Yeah, for sure. And then it's almost like you're going on a hunt and you're like, well, I'm excited to try out this stove, or I'm excited to try out this spotting scope, or, you know, I mean, like you said, you always have like a few things that go with you every trip, and they almost become like a good luck relic, I guess you could say. But
Absolutely.
Man, I get excited when, like you're saying, you know, I'm like, yeah, this trip I'm going to put this thing to the test. We'll really see what it's made of.
Right. Yes, absolutely. So I will say one thing that that I am still using for like the last 3-4 years now, and I've tried a couple other ones, but I just keep going back to it, is my Jetboil. And I know there's a few people I've seen that have had problems with them, like burning out in the bottom or different, you know, some other different failures and things after a bit of use. But man, I tell you what, I've had the same one since I started using a Jetboil, and I've got that Sol titanium. So it's, I don't know if they even make it anymore, but at the time it was the lightest one I could find. And man, I've stepped on that and bent the cup and had to straighten it. And I've just used the heck of it for the last, like, whatever it's been, 3-4 years probably. And that thing's held up great for me. And I'm careful, right? I do melt snow in it, but I always make sure I leave it like a third full of water. So I'm not, and then I let it cool down in between, right? Like I'll stick it back in the snow. So I cool the little, you know, fins on the bottom. Uh-huh. And so with like a little bit of care, it seems like it's held up really well for me. So that's kind of like not a new thing, but something I've been really happy with. So
yeah, no, I agree. Like I've ran jet boils before. Actually, just this last year, I kept my jet boil, but I bought another stove. But my jet boil's always been great for me, and how quickly it boils water it still fascinates me.
I
more so just got a different stove just purely because I wanted to try a different stove, and on Amazon it was $16. But this stove is a BRS stove, and it weighs 0.9 ounces.
Wow.
So I just
that's like, pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's super freaking light, and I just was like, holy hell, I have got to try this thing. So I bought it, you know, $16. I mean, you're not really out. And took it out, tried it a few times, and that little thing is awesome. Like, I'm so impressed with it. And you know, you obviously have to bring your pot set, but it's so small that I can take one pot for, you know, cooking food in, one pot for boiling water, a small canister, and the stove, and a foldable cup, and put it all in the same. It all fits inside the same pot.
Nice.
And I mean, it's
that's sweet.
Yeah, you know, and it's probably about the size of half of a Nalgene bottle. So I mean, it's small.
Right.
But man, that thing boils water, and not as quick as a jet boil, but I am super impressed with it. I really am. It's crazy how quickly that thing boils water.
Nice. That's great. So another item to kind of get back on some of the newer stuff that I've been, I haven't tested this yet, but I'm excited that they came out with it is, one of my favorite pieces that I also used from First Light last year was the, I believe it was the Halstead fleece. So it's just a quarter zip fleece is what it was. But I ended up buying two of those, and I got a solid and the camo, and man, I wore the heck out of them. Really liked them. And this year they have the, I think they called it the Klamath or something like that. And it's basically the new version of that, but you can get it with a hood.
Sweet.
And I checked those out at some of the shows, and I was really excited when they finally, you know, started doing their pre-order for them. So I went and ordered one of those up. Haven't tried it yet, but I'm expecting, I mean, it's a fleece, and they've done it before, so I'm pretty sure it will be it'll be a good piece. So so that's one that I'm really excited about trying this year. I can't remember last time when we talked if we talked rangefinders a whole lot. Obviously, being a rifle hunter, you know, I like to try to find being a hunter that uses, you know, any weapon I can get tags for. I like to have stuff that obviously crosses over.
Yep.
And
yep.
So all last year, since I don't remember when I got it, but maybe right after or early in the year last year, anyway, I started testing that Sig Kilo 2400, and it's obviously a lot more rangefinder than I need for archery hunting, but I believe it is truly like one of the best all around, because it does everything I need for archery. Gives me angle, you know, at basically, you know, as short as you can range, which is the shortest I think I tested. It was like 4 or 5 yards or 3 yards or something. But it gives you the angle correction, so you get line of sight, or you can get, you know, the angle modified range. It obviously does all the ballistic stuff for all the long range stuff that I like to do. So and it's super fast. You can, you know, and I guess like with archery hunting even, or any kind of hunting, one thing that I like a rangefinder that will range really far for is when I see an animal and I'm trying to figure out, you know, like stock approach, you know, kind of deals and like and distances to where, you know, maybe I want to know if the buck or elk or whatever is 1,800 yards or want to find out how far it is when it's, you know, long ways away, a mile or more or whatever. And then by being able to range different ridges in between and all that, then you can kind of get a guesstimate of sort of your approach and where you might be able to get a shot or those kind of things. So even though we, you know, might not shoot that far, sometimes that extra ability has like helped us going after different animals. So that's kind of a cool feature. That thing was just, I still have really, not many complaints about it. It's they did a pretty dang good job, so I've been super happy with that. And plan to use it again this year. I'm probably not even going to test any other rangefinders. I think I'm just going to use it all year. So,
yeah, I have the SIG 850, and I rifle hunt, you know, especially as season gets later, like cow elk tag or whatever. Like, I love to rifle hunt as much as I love to bow hunt. I just end up bow hunting more. I mean, I like it a little bit better probably, but I have zero things against rifle hunting, you know? And, I was in the store, you know, and I was like, oh, should I get the SIG 850 or the SIG 2400? And I thought to myself, I said, well, let's be honest, even when you're rifle hunting, you don't shoot much past 300 yards. So, you know, that'll do. And it panned out, you know, I mean, it worked great all through archery season with the angles and everything like that. And then I went on a late season cow hunt with my rifle and I pulled up and I ranged those elk at like 410 yards or 420 or whatever they were. And shot a cow, you know, for the freezer. And talk about, you're not kidding when you talk about fast, you know, I actually held them side by side with a Leica, which Leicas are amazing rangefinders, and the SIG was faster, and it blew me away, and the price point was way less as well. So I mean, it's pretty hard to beat. I agree 100% with that SIG. I mean, it's an awesome rangefinder.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely so. But yeah, that one's one that I'm going to kind of stick with. I don't think I'm going to, you know, switch that up. I'm kind of excited about some of the new Phelps elk calls in the past. I don't know if you've used Phelps or not, but they're one of my favorites, and he's a local guy, really good dude. Jason is, and, lives down just south of me. I don't know, a couple hours maybe, here in Washington, but he came out, I believe it was just, I don't know, right before elk season last year, middle of last year, whatever it was. Anyway, he came out with starting to do some of the domed where they have like the plates over the top of the reed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's kind of got the full gamut now. And so it's, I guess, not really a new thing, but he's just keeps adding more and more. So he kind of has a little something for everyone, I guess. And I don't know if it's because with just more experience as I go along, you know, through the years and get you know more time out in the elk woods and calling and things, but it seems like they're just getting his stuff is just seems really easy to blow and to make good, you know, good sounds, you know, very consistently. So anyway, I'm, you know, excited to use some of his new ones again this year.
That's huge.
And we'll see. So yeah, and then actually I even use them for turkey. So I did do one turkey hunt last year. We called a few turkeys in and we ended up not getting any, but I'm not really a big turkey hunter anyway, so wasn't too disappointed. So we'll see if we get out again this year. I'm not sure because we got a bunch of spring bear stuff coming up. But anyway, yeah, those are I think a great, you know, great product and really happy for some of the new stuff that they're coming out, I guess. So, but what's your normal elk call that you use? You said you didn't use the Phelps.
Yeah, so I have kind of just been like a Walmart guy. I'll be going on a hunt and oh crap. I better go get some elk calls because Lord knows I'm a shitty whistler, so so I just like walk into the nearest right. sporting goods store on the way there and buy them. But this year but truth be told, I'm not a very good caller. I probably spend a lot more of my time elk hunting, spot and stock or pattering them a little bit and, you know, getting set up in front of them. Truth be told, I'm not a very good caller. It's probably my biggest weakness when sure. it comes to elk hunting, and I need to get better at it. You know, I really, really do. But I used, Shield Mountain Outdoors. Kind of like you.
Okay.
He's a local guy, or he used to be really local. He lived like 45 minutes from me. Now that I moved, we're a little bit farther away, but, guy's name is Steve Walls and he built them all in his house. And I don't know, when I blow them, they make an elk noise. So sounds, you know, seems like they work good to me.
Hey. Absolutely. That's it. I don't even think you really have to be like real, you know, I've heard elk that I would swear are not elk, that they're people. And then I've heard, you know, obviously there's some guys out there that are like damn good, a hell of a lot better than me.
Right.
And I'd swear they're elk. So,
well, we're in the same boat.
Man, we've called bulls in. Oh, exactly. And I don't know. I think it's more a matter of just learning them. And I've heard a lot of guys that know a lot more than me talk about elk hunting and they'll say that, you know, that kind of the same thing where it's really just understanding more like the types of sounds you should be making and what, you know, at which points and things like that. And man, I think you know, obviously reading and watching videos and things helps, but man, you can't beat the just getting out there and doing it and just learning for yourself what works for you and your style. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm not by any means any kind of great elk caller. I can do enough to get a response out of them. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. So
yeah,
you know, yep. That's
more often than not for me.
Anyway, so
and then, like they're going the other way.
Right. Yep. But so another couple things that I'm kind of looking forward to for this year is, you know, because I use a lot of different gear, right? I'm not like any kind of I'm not loyal really to any different brands usually or anything like that, because I like to test a lot of things like we've talked.
Yep.
But Sitka has come out with some pieces this year that I'm pretty excited about. Most the pieces I'm probably most excited are their oh crap, what the heck's it called? Anyway, they're Apex, I think is what it is. So they make a new Apex pant and an Apex, they call it a jacket, but it's pretty lightweight. But man, they're like, to me, they're like the antelope or elk hunters. Like they seem to be, at least. I haven't tested them in the field yet, but from talking to guys that I trust and then from checking them out and just, you know, just feeling them and putting them on and things like that, they're fairly lightweight. I feel like they're going to be just right for that, you know, sort of all around hunting pant and shirt or jacket or whatever. And then the nice thing is they put the removable knee pad in for when you're stalking or whatever. And then they also put a removable elbow pad in the top. And I'm kind of really excited to try that because I know like different times we've been crawling in for coyotes or for antelope and different things like that. And never really thought about elbow pads, but once I saw it, I was like, that's a great idea. That's going to be like perfect. So I'm excited to try those out.
Yeah, I agree. You know, honestly, ever since I started wearing Sitka, I have thought to myself, why don't they have elbow pads? Because,
sure.
You know, when I'm in the red zone, I'll crawl through the cactus. I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make it successful, you know. So, and I just have always thought to myself, man, why do they not have elbow pads? And look here. They came out with some with elbow pads. That's good.
Right? Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, John Barclow is their guy, and man, he's I feel like he's, you know, coming out with some really great stuff.
Yeah, I like John a lot. He was on the podcast a while back, and he and I have been coordinating to have him back on. But man, that – and what's so cool about it is it's not like he just, you know, knows or whatever. Like, he actually cares too. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a whole step further, you know. He knows what it takes to survive and this, that, and whatever, and have warm clothes or clothes that'll last. But he also gives a damn as to whether or not it lasts for the end consumer, which is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I definitely agree. So this is the first – I just met John. Never, you know, I don't know him very well or anything like that. I've just had a couple short conversations with him. Like his SHOT Show and stuff, but yeah, as he was going through the line and the new stuff that they have coming out and the new pack, that's probably another kind of a really cool one. We're actually putting a full video and written review for after a year of testing with that pack. That'll be going up on Rockslide here. I believe I have it. I think it's scheduled for the 15th or something like that, 14th or 15th of this awesome. Month. So it'll go out right before that pack's actually available, or right about the same date. I think they're releasing it somewhere around there. I tell you what, that is an impressive piece because, I think quite a few of us have had experience with like the Sitka 45 and some other packs of theirs and not real good, you know? So I was like a lot of people very skeptical when I heard that they were going to make another pack, and I thought, well, whatever. I just kind of, you know, wasn't really too interested. And then when I saw it and put it on with some weight in it, I tell you what, it's definitely I think it might be a good option for some guys. So
that's awesome.
I think that was a step that was you know, smart on their part as far as you know, business is concerned. And I think I bet you they sell a hell of a lot of them because it's definitely looks like a pretty solid deal. So. But anyway, yeah, and it was Josh Boyd is one of our writers, and he's the one that tested that out, and he I think got it like last spring, so he has like awesome. A full, you know, spring through summer through fall hunting season with the thing, so it's good. I've read it and stuff, and then I've watched his video, and so look forward to that. That should be really good.
Hell yeah!
But so.
And I think, I think that was a good move for them because, you know, their gear is obviously awesome. You know, it's almost indestructible. I mean, it's good stuff. It really is. I mean, you're getting what you're paying for. You know, people are like, well, it costs so much, this, that, whatever. But when you buy a pair of pants and it lasts you for 4 to 6 years, $200 isn't that much money, you know? But I think, you know, them upgrading their pack was a good step for them too. I agree with you completely because, you know, I had heard the same thing, you know, oh, this not this good, this, that, and whatever. And then they came out with that, basically fixing all the issues and the concerns. And I think it was a good step for them because I think it's a good area for Sitka to grow and expand for sure.
Right. Yeah. No, I definitely agree. So, you know, that actually reminds me, there's another pack that's coming out that I haven't tested ever really, you know, I mean, I've worn them, but not really thoroughly tested them, but, is the Mystery Ranch packs. And I know, I mean, they've always had a great reputation for really good, solid packs, but, they are, I believe it's this year is the first year they had it. They have these packs that I think they're called like the convertible or the flip up or something like that. But they carry like a day pack. They're a small. They have two different sizes, like 1800 and 2800 or something like that, cubic inches. And anyway, you like pop a couple little buckles in it and the bag kind of pops away from the frame. And then the frame is actually like a tent pole setup to where it like slides together just like you would like, you know, with aluminum tent poles. And it basically like raises the frame up to where you have full load lifters and a usable, you know. So it goes from basically a day pack to – without testing it, I'm kind of guessing it's going to be like that sort of like a lightweight hauler where you could maybe throw like a quarter on and it would still hold up good. It's not going to be like one of your full frame packs, I don't think, but it was I was really impressed checking that out. I thought, man, that, you know, a lot of guys have had that kind of similar idea. Like, how do we make a day pack into a good hauler for getting out that first load? And, it looks like they came up with a pretty good solution. So that, I think, is going to get, I expect that one to get a lot of praise this year if some guys try it out. So, yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, so that's some of the things. I'm still going to stick with pretty much my Kefaru Sawtooth. I use that tent like all the time. I don't know that I'm going to do too much shelter, changes this year. I do that one, and I do a lightweight Cuban tarp when I know it's not going to be terrible weather if I'm not going to be in the tent for a long time because it's pretty small. Still using the Therm-a-Rest. Yeah, exactly. But the Therm-a-Rest X-Therm is still my kind of my pad of choice. I haven't seen anything out there. I know that, some of the companies have come up with a few little different things. But for me, it's still working really well. I've got one that's, I think, 2 or 3 years old now. I've never had a leak. I got a couple extras for like my wife and kids and stuff. Same thing. Those ones work great. But the one that I use all the time is still holding up really, really well. So, really happy with that. Just that's for awesome. Kind of a solid. I know it's gonna work. Yep. So.
Yeah, I got a Therm-a-Rest Neo Air Max, I believe is what it is. And besides the pad itself being kind of loud, it's kind of crunchy sounding. I love it.
Yep.
It's right. Really warm. It insulates very well. Cause I have my sleeping bag is a Big Agnes sleeping bag without a bottom. It's got a sleeve for you to slide your sleeping bag into. And then the top of the sleeping bag is long enough on the sides that it basically goes over the edge of the sleeping pad. So you have to have a good sleeping pad or else you freeze your balls off. Simple as that.
Right. Totally. Totally.
Yeah. So I had one, that wasn't very good and it got a hole in it like the first trip I took it on. And then, did some research and this, that, and whatever. And I got this one and, man, I sleep so much better on this than I have on any other pad. And I had a fluke hole in it. I don't know if a stick did it. I don't know what did it. This was like my third trip. But I brought it home, soaked it [S2] Sure. [S1] In the bathtub, found the hole, plugged the hole. And ever since then, man, that thing's been rock solid. It also helps too, not airing them up too much. That helps. I think it was my misconception. It might be other people's, but it was definitely mine that you blew that son of a bitch full until like you could barely poke your finger in it. And it was just like you're sleeping on a rock, And I just think,
right.
I started listening to more people that have done it a lot longer than I have. And they're like, yeah, you want your sleeping pad full enough so that when you sit upright, your butt is almost on the ground. And I was like, huh. So I started doing that and man alive, my sleeping pad is a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there. I started doing that. A couple years ago doing the same thing. I fill it up full. And then I lay on it and I just every night, when I get on there, I just let a little air out until it's where until it's comfortable. And I'm with you, man. It's kind of nice being able to sort of customize it per, the different terrain you might be laying on. You need a little more or less padding and things like that. And
yep.
I agree. It works really, really well. So.
Yeah. Hey, let's see. This year I got to test out the whole lineup for six sight gear. As well as I tested out some new stuff for Sitka, lot of those I've either done gear reviews on YouTube or they're coming up, but, So for Six Sight, like I said, I tested out literally their entire lineup. Some things I really liked and some things I wasn't super impressed with. Their puffy jacket is one thing that I wasn't, you know, wasn't like a, oh man, this is the best thing ever, I need to switch to it. It was short in the torso, just like that that First Light jacket you were talking about, and that was you know, everything fit except for the torso, and I just was like, it was made it really uncomfortable, and then the jacket itself didn't have a hood, and that just man, that just that for a down jacket, that just bothers me. You know, if it's cold enough that I have the jacket on, I want a hood.
Right, and I know that, like, a lot of companies do that. You know, like, they'll either make it – most of them will do, like, an option for, you know, for both. But I'm with you. I am definitely a I'm with you. I like a hood. I don't know. I don't see a reason to have a jacket without a hood either, you know, when you're talking about an insulating piece like that. So I definitely agree there.
But. Yeah. One thing I did really like, they have a lightweight pant. It's called their Clear Creek bottoms, and I really did like those pants. They fit really well, nice athletic fit, really really durable though for as lightweight as they are. Now I haven't tried like the Sitka Ascent pants or anything like that, so I can't really, you know, compare apples to apples. But, you know, comparing them to, like, my Sitka Timberline, obviously they were more lightweight than the Sitka Timberlines. But I was pretty impressed with them, really. I wore them on that trip in Colorado, and, you know, they held up well. They were pretty breathable. They seemed to dry out pretty quickly, too, which is nice, you know, in a flash rainstorm or whatever. It seems like they dry out pretty quick. So yeah, I was sure. Pretty impressed with those pants for sure.
Right, nice. Yeah, and I know that Tanya Avery, you know, one of the owners of the Rockslide, Ryan's wife, good friend of ours. She actually started using some of those this year as well, or at least late into the winter. I think she met those guys at one of the shows and kind of had the same experience. They, you know, like, she kind of checked them out, and she said she tried them on. And ended up, I think, buying a jacket maybe or one of the tops anyway. And I think those same lightweight pants. And she was telling me that she's super excited about trying them out. So that's good. The more companies that come out and the more that are, you know, pushing each other and all the different options and price points and stuff is just, I mean, you can't beat it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it definitely makes it get, you know, gives us a leg up, you know, because one company comes up with something awesome, and the next company's like, well, we're going to one up you, you know, and that for me and you, that's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. So
that's all for this week's tips and tactics segment. I hope you learned something that will help you be better tomorrow than you were today. If there's something that you would like us to specifically cover, head on over to www.archerymaniacs.com and click the Got a Question button, or hit us up on social media, and we'd be happy to cover your question in a tips and tactics segment. Now, it's time for Full Draw Fitness, brought to you by Courtney and Steven of Elevation Fitness Training.
Hey everybody, welcome to Full Draw Fitness with Courtney and Steven of Elevation Fitness Training.
We're going to be going over everything from fitness to hunting, archery, and just being comfortable with your bow in the backcountry. So sit tight, get comfortable, and follow us along the journey of Full Draw Fitness. We're gonna keep that. We're not gonna edit that out.
That was the most appropriate thing I could come up with.
Just
all right, Courtney and Steven with Elevation Fitness Training, bringing you Full Draw Fitness with Archery Maniacs.
Man,
what's going on these days?
What is going on these days? Good stuff. One, it's extremely sunny and beautiful outside.
We said that last time, too. Oh, it's still sunny and beautiful
outside. Because it's still sunny and beautiful outside, which is great. It makes us happy.
That's awesome.
So, today.
Foam rolling.
Yeah, I just got off the foam roller not too long ago and was like, man, we need to be talking about foam rollers.
Foam rolling is awesome. I started foam rolling long time ago.
In the 70s.
Yeah, way back before I was born, I started foam rolling. And no, but for real, my clients are like, what's a foam roller? And then pretty shortly after that, they're like, I love my foam roller. I've got one in my car. I've got one in my home gym. I take one everywhere I go. They're awesome. Want to talk about some of the benefits?
I would love to talk about some of the benefits. One, it makes me happy and feel good. Boy, there's endless benefits, really. For me, you know, I've had some neck injuries in the past, which has caused a forward projection of my head and neck. And being able to get my upper back, my cervical spine, upper thoracic spine on that foam roller and just work those kinks out has been so beneficial. It relieves all the tension on those muscles. You know, we hold our stress and tension up in our upper back and traps and neck and all that stuff. And we tend to, you know, life, especially nowadays, brings us here. So it's nice to just get on that roller and roll around. And, you know, we have who knows how many of them, different kinds. And we've got one that I call the baby fist because it's got all these gnarly little knobs and knuckles and all these things for... You that are just listening, you can't see all this, but for you on the watching us on YouTube,
this one is one of my favorites, and it's awful, but it's so good at getting into the areas that, you know, having a bigger foam roller can't necessarily get to.
Right.
So for me, this has been really a vital piece of getting into my hip, hitting my IT band, even glute muscles, just kind of giving this the business. Nothing like a foam roller selfie.
That's right. Yeah, you gotta have those.
You know, they're really important. They're really good for breaking up scar tissue or, you know, tension through the muscles. And a lot of us, and I actually just recently did an article on physical stress. A piece of it was physical stress. And people are spending a lot of time, you know, either with a laborious job or, you know, more is better, you know, mentality when it comes to training and working out. So they've got really sore, tight, overworked muscles, and that decreases range of motion, which changes body mechanics and all those kind of things. So spending some time on a full body foam rolling session, it does a lot of good, brings a lot of circulation, increases flexibility, oxygen, blood flow to those areas, decreases soreness. So it's one of those things, you know, you can buy one for $10, I think, you know, sometimes look on maybe Amazon or something like that, but having one is just a game changer in my opinion. I have a lot of my clients warm up on them, and their training sessions with one of them. Yeah, I think they're an all around really, really great tool for recovery and repair specifically.
Yeah, and there's so many different ways to roll your muscles out. I'm holding this small, it's about the size of a tennis ball. Courtney actually picked me up this set of muscle rolling balls. And they're different sizes, the size of a mini basketball. Yeah, trigger points. There's one about the size of a softball, and there's this one here. And I'll tell you what, if you guys have never used these, or even a baseball, we've got this whole bin of muscle molding objects, anywhere from the baby fist foam roller to a open cell softer, you know, more introductory foam roller to these trigger point style balls and rollers. Man, you can get in there deep and good, and it does a lot of stuff. One, it improves circulation, like Courtney said. your flexibility, obviously, right? You roll, you warm the muscles up, you increase blood circulation, and then you stretch. You don't stretch and then try to do it backwards because the muscles are, if you're just getting up, if you're sitting here doing a podcast and I'd say, oh, I'm just going to go stretch out. It's like, great, well, I'm not doing anything. All the blood's pooling in my abdomen. It's not to my extremities or any of my muscles because I'm not using anything except my arms and hands because I talk like this.
I was going to say that, but...
Right, as you've mentioned before. But, ladies... Pay close attention to this next fact. Foam rolling helps reduce cellulite. It helps reduce cellulite. So for if there's no other reason, even though there's lots of reasons, look at me in the face. Roll. It's going to help cellulite, right?
I mean, I'm going to just be honest. Before I even had read that, or thought, you know, that could be a fact, I was like, how could it not help? Yeah. You know, you roll the areas that you're more prone to getting cellulite, you're breaking up, you know, all of the fat cells, you're loosening, making everything more pliable so you don't have that pull. And it feels good. You know,
it does.
There's just so many benefits to it that people who don't foam roll, I don't understand.
Now,
they just haven't got there yet.
Right. Now, so let's be in the spirit of full candor here. Let's make sure that we put this out into the world. If you've never foam rolled before and you're a tight little ball of stress, you're not going to enjoy the first 5 minutes of foam rolling. Okay? Don't get on a foam roller like this or this, right? You're going to want something more along the lines of this. Big... open cell, it's soft, right?
Doubles as a sword.
It doubles as a sword. A pool floaty, if you like. You know, work your way into it because the reason that you're tight and you're clammed up is because those muscles are so tense. They're not
Everything's
flexible.
Been shortened.
Right, they're not supple. More than likely you're dehydrated too. So
if muscles don't have a reason to lengthen, they're not gonna, right?
No.
They're muscles. They're gonna be bound.
Yep.
So unless you're either, you know, stretching them out or foam rolling or giving them some sort of reason to lengthen, they're gonna stay contracted, which is gonna decrease range of motion. Like I said, body mechanics. So then you go out and you try doing squats or, you know, lifts, and you can't figure out why your knees hurt or your back hurts or your ankles are, you know, out of alignment. That's what's going to happen when everything's pulling so tight that it's pulling your natural mechanics out of balance. So I definitely recommend a foam roller. There's a lot of resources that you can get. Maybe we can even throw up a YouTube video of some how-tos on foam rolling.
Yeah, cool.
Again, you can get them for relatively inexpensive. If you're not very well versed in, you know, doing any sort of self myofascial release or stretching or anything like that, start with the more introductory, no baby fists,
yeah.
No mountains. Do something that's going to be a little bit more simple, and then you can kind of work your way up to it. Because again, if we're doing something and we get on a baby fist machine and it, you know, doesn't feel very good, we're probably not going to continue to do it. So,
right, yeah.
But yeah, you can definitely get on YouTube and look up some foam rolling stuff. We'll try to throw one on here before too long as well. And just kind of give you guys some how-tos and basics for, you know, outdoor muscles, right? When you're going up and down the mountain or shooting your bow, working on some lat release and upper back stuff. So very important, highly recommended. It's one of our biggest training tools for our Elevation Fitness training clients. And I think it really helps improve the longevity of being able to do what you love injury free. And that is key.
Agree. Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, bringing this to archery, I only shoot my bow with one arm, right? With my draw arm, meaning I don't draw my bow with both arms. So there's going to be an uneven tension on the left-hand side, because I'm a southpaw, on the left-hand side of my back. So, man, getting in and just starting broad, right? Starting with this guy here. For those of you listening, this is it's about 10 inches wide, maybe a foot wide. It's a stiff, but I've been foam rolling for a long time. It's a stiff baby fist style
the trigger foam point.
Roller, foam trigger roller. Point foam roller. So I'll start with that, and then I'll narrow it down to, you know, one of these tight, small, stiff trigger point balls to really get in there and get in there deep and try to loosen that stuff up. Because I promise you this, if you've been shooting your bow long enough and you're not trying to get that myofascial release like Courtney was talking about, you are going to absolutely 100%, you are going to develop a deficiency either in your trap, your rhomboid, your in this whole elevator scapula, which is, you know, the muscles surrounding your shoulder blade that lift and move and rotate and support. And you're going to, it's going to be not fun.
Everybody has a dysfunction. Yep. Everybody does. You know, we all, either if it's by trade or work or, you know, mom with a baby on her hip, we all have imbalances that create dysfunction in other areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people are really aware of that and some people aren't. You know, until you go to do something physical or, you know, you're presented with an injury and then you're like, man, why'd that happen?
Right. Well,
it's because there's so much imbalance in your body that it's hard to keep things injury free. It's hard.
Right.
It's, you know, it's hard to not be injured. So
yeah, it's again, going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. One way or another. So again, definitely look into them. You can send us questions if you have questions on them. I think that kind of covered what we had to say about foam rollers. Where can they find us? Where can they send questions?
Man, good question in yourself. ElevationFitnessTraining.com. We have a contact us page. It's very easy to contact us. You can find us on social media, Instagram, under Elevation Fitness Training.
Bug Zach Harold.
Man, yeah, Zach Harold, yeah. He's I actually was just speaking with him this morning and Wednesday. He's getting started on his personalized fitness program. So
awesome.
He'll be a good resource just to ask from an outsider's perspective. You know, he's gonna get after it and talk about a driven human being. Holy crap, that guy's got some drive. Instagram at Her Outdoor Journey is where you can contact Courtney. HuntFit_08 is where you can find me. You can find us on Facebook, Stephen Don or Courtney Levesque. Elevation Fitness Training as well. We've got a private group, which we're expanding just a little bit, but we like to keep it to our, you know, main clientele base, which is the Elevation Fitness Training Badasses. And we named them that because they're badasses.
They're badasses.
They are badasses.
They work hard. They inspire me all the time.
They do.
You can also find our email on our website as well if you have a question or you want to reach out with a comment or a story or something awesome. So, yeah,
that's right.
Find us on there. We will be covering some more awesome full draw fitness kind of stuff. That's what we're about, making hunters happy in the backcountry, keeping our bodies healthy, fueling the right way. Which is more than half the battle, I would say.
Oh, man, yeah.
So get out there, get after it, make sure you're giving your body some love, get some downtime, rest, recover, have an excellent day, guys.
Write all that stuff down because it's a lot, but it's important. If you guys have any topics, questions that you would like us to cover, any podcast suggestions, anything that you're interested in and would just like to know about, feel free to reach out, let us know, and we will do our best to cover it. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Thank you for tuning in to the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear, and it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, 1-star it, but if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lampers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.